Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Two verses 8 through 13 we're going to look at. Of a message titled Endure. And it actually, God really just reiterated the rest of what he wanted me to speak about after the prayer request I got yesterday concerning those brothers and sisters in Christ who have been charged for simply trying to minister and save lives. Again, I'm astounded. It's so hard for me to comprehend in this nation that you could be charged for trying to save, to protect life. It is so hard for me because the very same people that will charge you for supposedly intimidating someone having an abortion will lay down their life to save a whale. They'll lay down their life to protect a bald eagle egg, and they will throw the book at you. God forbid that you should ever shoot, injure, hurt an actual bald eagle or one of their eggs. It is just, I'm sorry, church, it's astounding to duplicity to me. I mean, it just drives me, because why? They care about life. They weep over these whales getting shot up, that the Japanese, they have whaling ships, fleets, and they go out there under the guise of research. They call them research vessels, and they have it up printed on the side of the boats. If you've ever seen the documentary on whale wars, it kind of gives you a little bit of an insight into what goes on down in the Southern Ocean. It's pretty violent at times. But these people risk their lives because they are so bent on protecting whales. But yet, with no thought, no conscience, nothing, they can get off that boat, walk into an abortion clinic, and not a thought as to the duplicity in their own actions. We want a no-kill animal shelter, but yet you have clinics where children's lives... You understand where I'm coming from? I struggle with it. Now, I also struggle with Christians. I struggle with Christians because how many of those babies have been not only in foster care but have been sitting on couches at DCS for weeks because there's no homes to place them in? So I'm going to be honest, that's a stinging indictment on the body of Christ universally. It's a stinging indictment on the body of Christ. I had somebody, didn't even go to this church, just a few months ago, so, oh, there's no way I could, oh, I'd never take kids in. Now, you know, take some kids in, man, foster. Oh, no, we're done. No, I ain't doing that. These people weren't old. And it was amazing with which this person who was such an avowed, faithful follower of Christ, in no way, can't stand abortion, but in no way is going to do anything to lift a finger to help minister to the byproduct of abortion clinics closing. So, church, I pray that all of you would pray that God would raise up, you ready? Not raise up people that'll do it. Convict and bring the believers that are breathing and living now and sitting in church pews to get into a place of obedience. Because Matthew chapter 25, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. But tonight's message, Endure, just deals in these six verses. Kind of encouraging, discouraging, but at the same time encouraging, because what this basically is just kind of a rally cry to stand firm under the midst of persecution, under the midst of adversity. We have lived a very comfortable life, spiritually speaking, in America. You know, even as a reprobate until I was 29 years old, people were able to go to church. It was like that whole mindset of, you know what, we're here. If you want to come, we're here. Instead of going out in the highways and the hedges and the byways. And what's happened now is all of a sudden the tide's turned and it's like, uh-oh, you know, we have COVID and, you know, people don't want you knocking on their doors now. So we've got this whole entire paradigm shift that's occurred. You know, you go in today to a fast pace and they want you with a mask on. People don't want it. You know, you got a lot of these people don't want you near them without a mask. They, you know, they're walk. I see people in their own car by themselves with a mask on. What's wrong with you, man? Your car got COVID? I see people walking down the street by themselves. Like they think COVID is going to jump out of a car and attach itself to them. And I'm just thankful that I don't live in that fear. I know God holds my, I'm not scared of nothing. And I mean that. The only thing I'm scared of, let me just clarify that, is the God that can cast my soul into hell. That's what I'm scared of. But as far as human condition and humans, I've got nothing to fear. Because again, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And what are they going to do, take away my birthday? You're going to put me in prison? Okay. Let's do it. Amen? I sat at home for 4 years. Let's go sit in prison for 4 years. If it's God's purpose and plan, let's go. I'll stand in the toilet for 4 years on my head. Because God's going to give me the strength to do what he needs me to do. And I'll just use that as an opportunity to be a lighthouse. And as John MacArthur so passionately under persecution by that reprobate Gavin Newsom out there in California, that is, honestly, if I was a Democrat, I'd be ashamed and embarrassed of him. But he was all over John MacArthur. You know, they fined them. They just went after him. Mercilessly went after John MacArthur. And I remember they said, we're going to put him in jail. They fined him. They had him in contempt of court. I love John MacArthur's response. He said, you know, they're threatening to put me in prison for keeping church open and keeping a place of hope open at a very hopeless time. He said, you know what? I'm actually kind of excited because at 80-some years old, I've always wanted to do prison ministry, and I believe that God may finally give me the opportunity to do it. Amen? By the way, California lost their shirts because guess who won? Grace Community, John MacArthur. They had to pay them back, and they won an exorbitant amount of money. The state had to pay them all their attorney fees and all of this stuff that they had done because they said, you know what? They had the ability to meet, and y'all should have let them. So I'm just thankful that he stood firm. He did not back down even under the threat of going to prison. What are they going to do? Take away your birthday? Take it away, because I most definitely don't mind my birthday being taken away, because I know one thing. There is a real hell. And real people are going there for an eternity. And COVID might make you sick. But I can guarantee you one thing. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's 100% chance they're going to end in a place without any hope in a devil's hell for all eternity. And God forbid that we go spineless human beings that care more about some sniffling sickness than we do about people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So I pray that you yourself are standing on the reality of truth and recognize how important truth is and recognize that this is really, to me, just a warm-up of what's to come ultimately and the disdain that's going to unfold for Christians. And I hope you found 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's Word. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead and descended from David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Father, thank you tonight for this privilege, Lord, we have to be here to assemble. God, thank you for your word. Father, I pray tonight you'd hide me behind the cross, Father, so that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts in your word as only you can. God, give wisdom, give understanding, give direction, Father, and let us leave equipped to carry out the Great Commission. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 8, again, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David according to the gospel. Tonight, it's very easy to get off focus. And you think about Jesus, you think about his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, you think about the whole plan descending from David. Now, we've been in our morning Bible study at home, we've been going through the answer in Genesis, and this morning we've been at the place with Jacob and how the unfolding of, you know, God's plan through creation is at the place where Jacob, and how God used even Jacob's sin, the deception, and how God had, you know, before they were born, you know, Jacob had loved, Esau had hated, and I mean, just a... And it's just profound as you watch God even use each one of these steps. And one of the statements was this morning, you know, if they hadn't sinned, imagine what the plan would have been without that. But see, then I actually said, you know, this is what's even, this is hard to understand. Before the foundations of the world were laid, God knew man was going to sin. Oh, how can you know it hadn't happened? Is God all-knowing? Is God all-powerful? He transcends time. God is an eternity future. He's at the end before the beginning. He's everywhere. Again, we can't understand that because we are finite. He's infinite. God started time for who? Us. He exists outside of time. There is no time boundary for God. And though we can't understand that, doesn't change the reality of the truth of what that means. The thought, the process, this day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day in his eyes. Well, I mean, how can he know it hadn't happened? What's Revelation, church? Picture future events. All throughout Scripture, the prophecy, right? What was foretold. God knew what was going to happen, and it happened exactly how he said. So if he's not already there, how in the world could he ever have it in the world? Oh, he just happened to. Oh, I can't believe it. He hit another one. No, God is already there. That is just beyond understanding, but it doesn't change it. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with recognizing that his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts higher than my thoughts. I guess you could just really boil it down to really Romans chapter 9. You can, some parts you got luck, parts for noble, some for unnoble. You've got all throughout history, people who reject Christ, people who accept Christ. Pharaoh raised up, God might display his power in him. God can do whatever he wants to do. Why did he pick Abraham? Anybody know? But he just did. But also, was there anything in his lineage or anything that made him? No. God just picked him. Did he pick him from some godly heritage or nothing? No. He just picked him. So what can God do? Use who? Anybody he wants to. We see this no-count drug dealer drunk that gets saved and ends up being a preacher. And then you got a person raised in a Christian home that runs the rest of their life and never honors or serves. Wait a minute. Where's the justice in that? It's not up to us to say that, is it? Who are you, O man, to say, why'd you make me this way? The thing about it is, with us, we don't understand. We can't comprehend it. And that's why focus on Christ is the only focus that's going to give us the ability to succeed spiritually. Focus on, don't try to understand the whole entire every, okay, try to think about eternity. Eternity past. Because remember, again, another one that blows our minds, God has always existed. Can anybody in here explain that? I can't. God is the uncaused cause. Think about that one for a couple years. I've been thinking about it for about 15. He is the uncaused cause. See, we can't fathom that. We can't fathom that. That's what I do when I try to fathom it. You hear that? That's me. Because it's so beyond comprehension. Because remember, we're human. We're finite. Us trying to process the infinites of God and the ability to think that he could have existed forever in eternity past. We can't do it. But it doesn't change the truth of who he is, in my opinion. You can wrestle around with it and try to go into some crazy thinking about it, but yet, church, focus on Christ is the only focus that brings true success spiritually. Because what we're reduced to otherwise is what? Man's wisdom. Well, I will tell you, there's one thing I've learned about man's wisdom over time. It is deeply flawed. Amen? It is deeply flawed. Can you imagine before a telescope, when God's word had already said to Abraham, your descendants will be more numerous than the stars in the sky? Anybody know what you could see? Not a whole lot, could you? Now what do they know? There's trillions of them. Guess what? There's billions of galaxies out there. Now, you remember, you're 30-some-odd years old when you've been alive a billion seconds. It's a long time. You can't count $1 billion unless you're up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Start counting the moment you're born. You're in your 30s before you count that palette that you can stare at that has $1 billion on it. A billion is a lot. And we can't even begin to comprehend what a trillion is. See, God's promise, though we can't fathom it, though we can't understand it, doesn't change the truth of it, does it? And tonight, the atheistic origin of life people want you to hedge your bets on the fact that no, Christianity is for weak-willed people, the God that cling to their God and their guns, when in reality, those that have wisdom recognize that it takes more faith to reject God than it does to accept the reality of everything that's here. And tonight, I'm thankful because I focus on Christ, and I know tonight that that's the only focus that's ever going to bring a success, not only in the earthly sense, but also the fulfillment that each and every one of us strive for. Is there anybody in here who says, you know what, I don't care if I'm fulfilled. I was going to say, I'm going to drive by your house on the way tomorrow and take you up to Trust Point if anybody raised their hand on my way to go visit one of our sisters in Christ in the hospital. Because if there's nobody in here that would say, you know what, I don't care about, hey, I don't need fulfillment. I don't need peace and hope. Hey, I'll just sit in a cauldron of misery, which I've met some people in my lifetime that have actually liked dwelling in that place. I don't dwell with them long. I might come by and pray with them, but then I have to get out because it gets sticky in there. Amen? Misery loves company, but they ain't getting me there. Life is too short. I don't have time to dwell on that. But then verse 9, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. So remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David, according to the gospel, for which I suffer to the point of being bound like a criminal, the word of God is not bound. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this: there should be no limits to what we will suffer for the gospel truth. No limits. What are you willing tonight to lose? I'll reiterate the statement from Jim Elliot shortly before he and Nick Saint and those missionaries were killed by the Aka Indians. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I got a call from someone earlier, a 49-year-old man, had a massive heart attack over in, I don't know why I always forget that. It's on 41A if you leave Eagleville, Chapel Hill, and you go up towards Nashville, the next one, not before that, College Grove. And a daughter found, you know, her dad, sitting drink, called massive heart attack. I mean, it was no hope. Brothers and sisters, I used to think 49 years old was old. It ain't old. Church, you're a spring chicken. Amen? Amen. Those of you that are 70 feel pretty young. Your body might be trying to trick you and tell you otherwise. But the 60, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years on this earth is nothing. It's nothing. You can't take anything with you. I've never been to a funeral. I've heard about it, like George Burns, what had $100 or some odd in there and those cigars they put in his pocket when he died. I don't know why I remembered that, but I remember it. You know what I guarantee you? You can dig George Burns up now. Those cigars are raunchy things that still be in his pocket. They might be melted from the body, how it turns to jello, and they might have absorbed a bunch of his body fluids, but those cigars and that $100 bill is going to be, he didn't spend it, and he'll never spend it. Michael Jackson never took anything with him, though he was in that gold casket of his. He didn't take anything with him. So we can't take none of it with you. So it doesn't matter how wealthy, how famous, and how rich in this dimension you might become, because we can't take anything with it. So when you want to invest in something that has true meaning, that transcends time and transcends what really matters, is the earthly bounds with one day we will all cross. And there is quite a finality to it when we do. There's a whole lot different death experience in Christians versus non-Christians. Church view, I promise you, whole different thing. Because what we know is real. what they know is true fear because they don't know what's coming. We do. And that overwhelming fear that envelops them, I believe, is the beginning of the unveiling of what they realize now was true, that they thought wasn't. See, there should be no limits, though, to what we suffer for the gospel truth, because those people, God forbid that you and I are complicit in not sharing with them, and as Ezekiel says, their blood is on our hands. You think, well, you know, I'm not a missionary, yet we're all called to be, we're commanded to go, ye therefore, and make disciples. So how can we in any way try to excuse the commandment that Jesus has given us? There's not a person in this church, actually, that will ever stand before God, I just didn't know. By the way, it's the same, though, in the worldly perspective when you go before a judge. I'm sorry, I did not know that the speed limit was only 30 miles an hour on Lane Parkway when I was doing 60. I didn't think I was speeding. You didn't know that. Okay, you're good. Go on out of here. No, ignorance is what? No defense. No excuse. You know that standing before God one day, I didn't used to read my Bible back when I was running from the Lord. You know why I didn't read it? Because I thought if I didn't read it, then I couldn't be held accountable for what I didn't know about. That just shows how deceived, as John MacArthur says, sin makes you, the S word, stupid, right? Foolish. The more foolish you become, the deeper you become entangled in sin. You know that? You become really foolish. You ever notice that when somebody say, the only one that they're deceiving is theirself? Everybody already knows. They're in a wreck. They're a train wreck. Their whole entire life, everything is a train wreck. They're the only one that still thinks that they've got everybody fooled. And that's because sin makes you foolish. And he does use the S word. Tonight, why not be sold out for righteousness and truth, godliness and holiness? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, what? Then all these things will be added unto you. Delight yourself in what? Him, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you more of himself. Test God in it. Test him. So God, I'm going to dig in your word this year. I'm going to stay in it for 1 year. And if it does what that pastor says and what he continues to just harp and harp and harp on, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to even do it begrudgingly. Do it begrudgingly. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. God will change your heart if you do it begrudgingly. I know he will. Do it. Read. And keep reading. Because I promise you along the way something's going to happen. God's going to change your heart. I know he will. And the reason I know this because, see, I have the promise of God's word that says his word will not, some versions say, does not return void, but accomplishes what it was sent to accomplish. See, I trust that. The same way that when I share Christ with someone who doesn't believe in God, I don't go in there and go, hey, you want to just pray? Just pray this prayer. It's going to change your life. Let's get baptized. Let's do it. No, I'm not going to do that. And God forbid that I ever do that, because what you're doing is you're saying that these words are what are going to change your heart. Until the heart's changed, what are the words? They're just words. That's why I struggle a little bit with judgment houses. I struggle a little bit with them. These people who recognize they're sinners in need of a Savior, that want to understand that they're broken, realizing that they're separated from God, and recognizing that Jesus is the bridge to restore fellowship with the Father. Thereby, the byproduct of that is averting hell in the process, but that wasn't the focus of it. The focus was that they know life doesn't work without fellowship with the architect, the engineer of your life. The one who designed us with that creative purpose that allows us to live in that purpose, in that design, with which the fulfillment is found. Interesting, I went into a secular business this week and you had to put on there your gender. And it was interesting because I always kind of pay attention to this. You know, so it's a male, female, are you ready? There was only a third choice. Gender at birth. Meaning you had to put it, you still had to go back and put one or the other. So this is even in a medical setting. You were not able to go, well, I'm a non-binary, you know, because it actually matters in medical. They had a woman die a couple of years ago, less than that now, because she goes in and he, right, he has some indigestion. No, he was pregnant, and the antacids didn't help his indigestion because he was a she who had a baby inside. Lost the baby, and that person died too. Well, we went in there, and they didn't feel like they were remember, they believed that they were something different. And they told them that they were a he. Well, you can't treat a he and a she the same way, amen? There's unique differences in it. I don't need to go there tonight. I can definitively answer every single human being's question on the face of the earth when they're born. I can settle that issue. You ready? Oh, I know exactly what it is. There's a he or there's a she. End the story, amen? You can put that on the birth certificate. I'm actually pretty good at recognizing the two. That's why tonight, you better recognize and focus on what's true, what's trustworthy, what's righteous, what's holy, and what's just. Because see, the world's going to continue to sell us a bunch of bunk if we continue to buy it. It's going to try to dilute and pollute the minds of our children and pull them away from truth, pull them away from what's concrete, and they want to pull them into what? Abstract stuff. You know, hey man, truth is relative. Don't worry about it. It's not, you know, hey man, what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. No, that doesn't work. Because again, my argument with you is, well, I want to shoot you. It's okay with me, right? Because it's just right in my eyes. No, see, then all of a sudden we find a standard of truth that stops there. No, it doesn't work like that. Either truth is relative or it's not. Amen? See, I recognize that it's not. It's absolute. Moral absolutes are imperative because we realize that we have been created by the absolute moral law giver. That's God. There is no other truth. There is no other way. And I don't care how diluted and how perverted our culture gets in their understanding of truth, truth will not change because we reject it categorically. And then the last one, verses 10 through 13, and we finish. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Jesus Christ, with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight. Those who deny him will be denied. Those who endure will reign with him because he is faithful. Those who deny him will be denied. It's just as plain as it gets, church. Those who endure, those that run the race to what? To completion. And as you understand what that reigning will be, it's because, see, God's faithful. And we have a promise that's not a hope. It's, oh, well, we hope that this will happen. No, it's a sure thing. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt going to happen. We know that if you deny me before men, I'll deny you when I come into my Father's kingdom. We know scripturally that, so we see that. But then we also realize that those who endure, not all who enter the race win the prize, only those who what? Finish it. We see that in the parable of the soils. That is even still just, whew. But we see it all through Scripture. I think it's kind of scary, really, when you see in the parable of the soils, how many of them produce a crop? One out of what? All right, so I'm a math person, statistical analysis. Learned it from business math. So if you have four things and you translate in that to 100, you've got 100, 25, 50, 75, 100. So if you look at that picture, out of 100 people, 25 people will produce a crop. You're expecting more than Jesus got. Oh, really? I think that's why Billy Graham said what he said. Anybody know what he said? Word for word. He believed that 75% of people sitting in pews were headed for hell in many of the churches. And you know why I think he was hitting a key statement, what he was saying, is so many people live religion. So many people live religion. This country is very easy to be religious in, isn't it? It's very easy to get caught in religion. Very easy. But if you noticed, and see, we've had a whole paradigm shift here at Longview, but see, we see at Longview what walking with Christ is, because I've been beating that into heads for 15 years. What a true working relationship with Jesus Christ is, and the footprints of Christ and the fruit of righteousness. Those of you who have gone and visited other churches, when you're on vacation, come back and say, "Brother Jonathan, I was astounded at the lack of solid biblical truth that I heard." I've heard you even at the point of tears, where people say, "It breaks my heart." You know how many people have come up to me at the church when we do the Lord's Supper and have said, "I've never, until I came to Longview, heard the warning for the Lord's Supper, ever." Oh God, forbid that pastors don't read what it itself in that scripture warns of. Not taking part in the body of Christ in an unworthy manner. What in the world's the problem here? But yet, I can't tell you, it's been so many people, how many people have come and said, "Brother Jonathan, until I had the Lord's Supper at Longview, I had never in my lifetime heard that warning." You know how heartbreaking that is to me? Because we know what it says, right? When you take part in an unworthy manner, you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. That's why many of you are weak, sick, and a number of you sleep. Therefore, we ought to judge ourselves so that we don't fall under judgment. Meaning, if you've got something that's hindering you from taking part in the body of Christ, go deal with it and come back rejoicing and take part in it. Amen? But yet, so much truth has gone where? I don't know. It's gone to the wayside. So much deep biblical truth has gone to the wayside. People don't want to confront scripture like Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 9 and all Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew 25. And all these scriptures that talk about the footprints of Christ and what followers of Christ are to be. So we don't want to think about that. Why? Because we have to get up off the couch. We've got to get up off the couch, and we have to take personal responsibility in being an active part of the kingdom and not sitting back on the back pew, just reeling in the blessings, shouting glory, hallelujah, and not ever lifting a finger in the kingdom to do anything. Brothers and sisters all over the world right now, there's people doing that. They wouldn't know what it was like to produce fruit, because why? They're going to be held accountable for it. But they don't have a shepherd that has a spine enough to stand up and proclaim the truth and not worry about what happens as a result of it. Because if anybody has an issue with the truth, they don't have an issue with the pastor. What is he? He is merely a spokesman. It's the truth of God's word that calls every single one of us to a transforming life, transformed life, that in turn is used by God to transform others. I pray tonight that you are at the place where you are standing firm, you're standing up, you're enduring, you're fighting the good fight, you're taking hold of the good seed and running with it and spreading it and sharing it, and the roots, spiritual roots in your life are growing deeper by the day. And if not, I want to encourage you tonight during this invitation to cry out to the Lord that God would do whatever he needs to do tonight to allow you to begin to take the root that you should have long before. Because we can all stay on milk, but Scripture actually talks about it. Paul did, dealt with it. You should have been on the meat. You should have been growing long before. You should have been off milk a long time, paraphrasing. Tonight, are you chewing on the meat of God's word? Or are you sitting back still on the spiritual milk? Because you've not grown to the point where you are digging in the depth of God's word and truly growing. God forbid, church, we need brothers and sisters who are armored up, whose roots have grown deep, who are ready to stand firm, are ready and know what they believe, how to share it, and how to stand firm in that truth. Because long before, you've grown in that truth, you've matured in that truth, and God is going to use you deeply, mightily, and powerfully for the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for this privilege we have to be here. God, thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that it is active, it's living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, thank you for the convicting power of the Spirit. Lord, as you continually, day by day, conform us into your likeness, Father, I pray tonight, as we've heard your word proclaimed, God, that we continue to meditate on it, Lord, to dig deeper in it, God, to let it challenge us, let it convict us, let it call us to a greater, more faithful commitment for you. And just like the ones that we found out yesterday, Lord, are being charged simply because they are sold out for Christ and care about life and the defense of life, Father, now being charged with a criminal act as a result. I pray that when that day comes for us, God, that we will be so armored up, we'll be so steadfast, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.